episode number 48 of the Lex and Terry Threesome Podcast. Hello there.
And I'm Stacy filling in for Terry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Terry.
Stary.
Tacy and Stary. So, yeah, it's like we're doing so many of these, I'm starting to get the two of you mixed up.
Well, good.
I do 5 shows a week with him, 3 with you. It's getting confusing.
I know.
All I know is both of you should be really happy you get to work with me.
Oh, I drop to my knees and thank God every day.
Oh, listen, you don't have to drop to your knees. Hey, listen.
Yeah, I just
I've rescued you from yourself.
You have. You're my savior.
Yeah. Otherwise, you'd be.
I think Depeche Mode said it best. You are my personal Jesus.
Uh-huh. They did say it best. So,
hey, I get points for a Depeche Mode reference.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's so funny how they were just dormant for so long, and now they're like all over TV and perfume commercials, and that's that song's like popping up everywhere. In different manifestations.
And I've lost it in my many travels and moves around the country, but I used to have like a CD, something we used to listen to, kids. And there was like 6 different versions of that one song on it.
Yeah.
And they were all amazing. You know, I would put that on and just listen to like an hour's worth of Personal Jesus and loved it.
It's such a weird band because they never really transcended outside of Los Angeles. As far, you know, in Los Angeles, they were Elvis. I mean, K-Rock were playing them, and Depeche Mode was like selling out 5 nights at the Forum, and they couldn't get arrested at the Milk Bar in Jacksonville anywhere else. It was the craziest thing. I mean, the only other band I saw that was like that was AC/DC in the beginning, because 2 stations in Jacksonville played High Voltage when it came out. And I went and saw them at the Coliseum, 18,000 people.
Really?
Yeah. That's, I mean, got to give Jayville credit. They broke AC/DC. And
well, I was obviously too young, but I've heard the story from people older than me. Saginaw, Michigan, at some point in the 1970s, there was a little community college, Delta College. And, you know, they don't have sports or anything. I mean, it is extremely very small community college. And at some point in the 1970s, this band came in that they were, you know, they did a show. And so it's like, I don't know, at the student center kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
And the kids are all there drinking, doing their 70s community college stuff. And these people come out in like these costumes and all this makeup and everything, and like pretty much get booed off the stage. And it was Kiss.
Uh-huh.
I was like,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we used to listen to AC/DC, High Voltage, you know, and remember, they had a couple albums out before that. You know, Dirty Deeds actually came out before that, but didn't get big till after that. And we actually went up to Savannah the following night to see them. We loved them so much, expecting to be around 18,000 people again, and there were barely 200 people.
Oh.
And that's when I realized how potent radio airplay is.
Right.
You know, because
I'm trying to think. I saw Spinal Tap at Pine Knob outside of Detroit, and there was like 3,000 people there. And then I saw Urge Overkill literally at a bar in Detroit back in the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, between set, you know, they were walking around getting drinks and stuff. I mean, it was like any other bar band. And it was like, hey, you guys were in Pulp Fiction,
uh-huh.
Your song, you know?
Yeah. And we just had a... we just had a band come through here called the Temperance Movement.
Yeah, I saw you talking about it on social media.
Yeah, and you know, Terry went and saw them in Seattle. They sold out House of Blues here.
Nice.
And then Terry went to Seattle and said there were maybe 50 people there. And they were walking around and drinking and selling their own T-shirts and all that. That's it. I mean, that's the rock and roll business, man. That's it.
I know. Once you get to a certain point, you know, it is still have your humbling moments, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, Bob Seger was that way for the longest time. He was Michigan, 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 and then finally blew up. Michael Stanley in Cleveland was almost a local product that was just bigger than life there. And then once he went across the Ohio border, nobody cared.
My little hometown where I live right now, 4,000 people, literally. Bob Seger, back in the 70s again, played the Methodist church.
Yeah.
The people have pictures of him. It was they had no idea at that time. It was just some, I think he was 18, so he was very young. But yeah, Bob Seger played the United Methodist Church in my town.
I mean, that's why it's cool to go to shows, people, because you never know who the next Bruce or Bob or the next superstar is. You may have that story at some point where you can say, yeah, I had the Temperance Movement in the studio. They played for us acoustically. And 5 years from now, they may be, well, I know they're opening for the Stones in Orlando, so they're just,
well, last week,
a break away from something happening, you know?
Right. And you can say, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
Last week in Saginaw, it was Volbeat and Anthrax. And I really wanted to go. And, you know, I just went, no. Because I remember going to shows and looking at the old people that would go and be like, why are you here? And I didn't go.
Yeah, but I don't care. I don't care anymore.
But you're a guy. It's a little different.
Yeah.
You could still get away with it because you've got the biker. You could do a biker thing if you wanted to.
I went to Metallica in Detroit with Sam and didn't feel out of place at all.
That's Metallica though. Anthrax. Yeah, the same. There's people my age and older that grew up with Anthrax.
Yeah, I mean the
say that, but
the way I look at it is, you're the one that's out of place here, motherfucker. This is my band.
Yes.
This is from my era, so go fuck yourself.
Yeah, but we're the olds now.
No, fuck
that's
that.
That's what the millennials call us, the olds.
Yeah, well, I call them the entitled. Yeah, meaning you can't do shit without the olds.
True.
So shut up. I have this talk with my daughter all the time. She goes, do you know what a computer keyboard is? I went, yeah, we invented it. So, yeah, I know what it is.
And at any point, did you call her whippersnapper during that conversation?
No, I'm still teaching her how to run smack. She's still not worthy. She's getting good. She's better than her friends. That's all she needs to be.
Yes.
And when she was out on the horse circuit, she had no equal in the smack running department. Yeah. On top of the fact,
is there horse smack? Really?
Oh God! There's little rich girl horse smack. They're the meanest little bitches ever.
Awesome.
The first time I ever knew she could run smack, I was standing at the gate, and this girl went in, and she took a trip around, and you know, it was a really nice trip. It looked good and everything. And she was on her way out, and she looks at Sam. She goes, "Follow that bitch." and Sam and I'm like, "Oh my God!" And Sam, without batting an eye, goes, "If anybody knows anything about following, it's you. Have you looked at the point standings?" And then she went around and did an even better trip. And walked out and walked by the girl just shaking her head like, you shouldn't. I was like, oh my God.
I am convinced that teenage girls are the truly worst people in the world.
The devil.
Yes. They, you could have put them, a group of them, 30 of them, in a room with like Ted Bundy and at the end of 24 hours, he'd be in a corner crying and they'd all be fine. Just fine.
Yeah, Sam had this party once at the house and we were like standing in the kitchen and her boyfriend's like, was like running it on her that there were two or three girls there that I guess the term was asked them out. Ooh. You know, and she goes over to this kid that's like putting food on his plate and starts rubbing his shoulder and everything. She goes, "You want to get out of here?" He goes, "Yeah." And then she turns around, looks at him, and like, "Don't do it." It's like, and he goes, "Where do you want to go?" And she goes, "Oh, you know what? We'll do it later." And I was like, "Wow, you little bitch." You know, of course.
They are awful. They're truly awful little things.
She was the apprentice to the evil sorcerer anyway. You know, Sandy and her grandmother. And then you throw my background in there and it's very formidable.
Deadly, if you will.
By the way, she's like 20 days away from turning 18.
Should we do some sort of inappropriate legal countdown a la the Olsen twins?
I have it right here, actually.
God.
I have to have it handy on the show when people call up. I think, yeah, here it is. Yeah, 18 days, 9 hours, and 46 minutes.
Well, you better protect her virtue while you can.
She protects her own.
Because it's Horror City in 19 days.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, no, I don't care if she moves to Horror City at that point. That's up to her. She has such a good head on her shoulders. I'm not even worried about it.
I know.
You know, and thank God.
That's why I can say that. I would, yeah. If I didn't, you know, I can say that because I know it's not true.
Here's what I tell my friends. I'm like, I know that if she whores it up, it was her decision to do so. You know, it's not like she was guilted into it, peer pressured into it.
You didn't pay enough attention to her.
Yeah, right. Which she better not ever say. It's like she ever says that, I'll have to hold Mr. Hand back.
Uncle Fisty.
Because I've been a never fist, never. I have to pat myself on the back. I have been an awesome dad to her. We hang out.
It sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, you know, Lisa's kind of like. She goes, "I didn't even speak to my dad when I was this age." I'm like, "Yeah, but you're socially fucked up." I can't go on you. Yeah. You know, it's like there are actually daughters that get along with their dads all the way through. You know, that it's not Rumspringa for everybody, okay?
See, I was able to walk that fine line where I loved my dad very, very much. And he was a wonderful dad and paid all the attention to me. But I still had my Rumspringa. And I hid it from him because I didn't want the shame of him knowing. I think he suspected, but,
We so know. Please. I know she's having her minor Rumspringa, too. You know, and it's every once in a while, I just have to let her know I'm not stupid. Yeah, I'm. We're gonna go to the library, and then I'll be home like 10.
Yeah, you know, totally dating myself. Yeah. But mine was, "We're gonna go watch Spaceballs again."
Yeah, exactly. Finally, after 6 months, Sam, the library closes at 6. Just tell me you're gonna be home at 10, okay? Let me know you're all right. You don't have to lie to me. It's all good. As long as you get good grades, don't shirk your responsibilities, do what you're supposed to do, I'm not going to bust your balls. It's all good.
And your womb stays empty.
Yes. Well, luckily, she's more adamant about that than probably I am. She's like, I'm never going to have kids. Never, ever, ever. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, let's have that talk when you're 35.
Uh-huh.
And that clock's ticking.
Yeah, and you want me to keep the grandkids for the weekend. Yeah, it's all good.
Trust 35, me. 37 seems to be the age that any of the women that I know growing up and stuff that were like, I'm never having kids. That is, that's the age where they finally go, okay, I'm going to. I've changed my mind.
Yeah.
How old is Lisa?
37.
Tick tock.
No, what am I saying? 39.
Tick tock. What you doing, Lex?
Pondering.
They say kids keep a person young. Tick tock.
Yeah, well.
Tick tock.
Shut up. Besides, 37's old to some people.
Yes.
Isn't it? Maggie Gyllenhaal.
I'm picking up on your cues. Look at me go. Trending on Facebook today, as we're recording this podcast, Maggie Gyllenhaal, of course, actress, sister to Jake Gyllenhaal, has come out and said that she was recently turned down for a movie role because she was told she was too old. Now, she's 37 years old, and she was, I guess, trying for a part where she would be playing the love interest for a man who is 55. And she was told at 37 she was too old for him. Your
yeah, that's
thoughts,
right.
Lex?
Yeah, that's right. she's getting to the edge. I'll tell you that much.
Yes.
She I hate to say this. I know she's 37. But she actually looks older than 37.
I don't enjoy rooting on another woman's looks.
And it's not that she looks old. Her presentation is more mature. The way she keeps her hair, the conservative dress, she comes off 40-ish to me. And if they're looking for if they're looking for a certain part or a certain type of behavior in that part, she may not fit it.
She usually, I'm trying to think, I'm sure she's had longer hair in some roles. I can't think of any right now. She usually has a very short pixie-like cut.
Yes.
And she seems to be about the only person I know who embraces that hairstyle that it doesn't look cute and perky on. Because admit it, that's a cute, perky haircut. And the people who can wear it well. They rock that hairstyle.
Yeah, Lisa has that haircut, and she looks amazing in it. But not everybody looks amazing in it.
No.
If you have a little, and I mean even a little extra weight, and you have that haircut, it looks bad.
Well, see, and she's Maggie Gyllenhaal is certainly not even remotely extra poundage or anything, but she's always had a very round face.
Yes.
And so, again, you know, as I said, I don't feel comfortable ripping on her looks. I think she's very pretty.
No, I mean, I find her very attractive, but I need to know what the part is. I need to know what they're looking for out of this.
Right. And now she, being classy, I guess, has refused to say what movie you know, upcoming movie that this happened in or anything, because there's already people calling to find out, you know, what movie this is so they can boycott it. Because a lot of people, judging from the comments I was reading on Facebook, are getting pretty sick of the age difference issues. And I actually, in this story that I've got, I was reading this before we started recording. I've got to read this to you because some of this I was not aware of. For instance, Sally Field was Tom Hanks's love interest in Punchline.
Mm-hmm.
6 years later, that's all it was. 6 years later, she was playing his mother in Forrest Gump.
Yeah. I'm sending you a picture of her.
Okay.
But I know people want to boycott the movie and everything, but she needs to, like, come clean on what it is, because she just may not be the right casting for this part.
No, I agree. And I actually thought that, and I don't know if that makes me a good person or not, because I thought that, but I'm sure there's other things, but it also does not surprise me that that was the major thing. Going along with, I was just saying, with Sally Field, in the movie North by Northwest, that was that Cary Grant movie.
Yeah.
Wasn't that Hitchcock, I think?
Yes.
Jesse Royce Landis played his mother in North by Northwest. She was actually 10 years younger than him in real life. Winona Ryder played Zachary Quinto's mother in Star Trek. She was 5 years older than him. That's it. She's playing mom. And, of course, Angelina Jolie played mom to Colin Farrell in Alexander. She's just 1 year difference with him. And, of course, they were fucking in real life during that time,
yeah,
too. But
well, then don't take the part.
That's easy to say, but once you start getting to a certain age in Hollywood, those aren't the only roles that are being offered to women.
That's not true.
It is extremely true, Lex. Why do you think all of the actresses are starting to speak out about this?
There are plenty of actresses that get parts that are equitable to their age.
But are they good parts, or are they just playing mom? You know, the mom who comes to visit, are they, you know, honestly, I mean, it's kind of a joke in Hollywood that basically Meryl Streep gets any quality role for any woman over the age of 45.
Yeah, so what? She's over the age of 45.
But there aren't that many roles. That's what I'm saying. There's nothing juicy. Basically, once you become a woman over the age of 45 in Hollywood, you are, you know, look in the movie Thor, Renee Russo. She's still fucking beautiful. And she was playing Thor's mom, you know, and they made her look old and everything.
Yeah, she also in the latest Jake Gyllenhaal movie where he's the photographer. She played the GM of a TV station.
Yes. And she actually did an interview about why she took that role, because it was the first role that really, really interested her that she's gotten in probably a decade.
Yeah, I don't know what you want me to tell you. When you're bankrolling millions of dollars for a movie, and you want star appeal, and you want everybody to go see it, from 18, or shall we say 14 to death, you get a little more gun-shy about doing the right thing as opposed to what's going to put asses in the seats.
I know, but at the same time, where does the change begin? Renee Russo, look at Michelle Pfeiffer, still a beautiful woman. You know, Julia Roberts is still hot. She certainly is not doing as many roles, and I realize that she embraced motherhood for a while. Her kids are older now. She's doing more movies again, but there aren't the roles for older women. And, you know, these women have worked hard to look beautiful. You and I were talking about Helen Mirren, you know? She's gorgeous, and look at her age.
Yeah, but she's not playing in Mean Girls either. She's doing age-appropriate stuff.
they made, what was it? What was that movie? Red? What was it with Bruce Willis and stuff? They specifically made that movie, I'm pretty sure, to give old actors something to do. And it was a huge hit. People went and saw that. Maybe not the kiddies, but I enjoyed that movie. Does that mean I'm like ready for adult diapers?
Listen, I get your point, but Maggie Gyllenhaal is not a 37-year-old sex kitten. You know, she's not. I don't even picture her in a relationship. She's just not that chick.
No, I understand that. And actually, because she is one that I agree. I don't think that she, I was actually surprised that she was cast in the Batman movies.
I mean, look at the
picture. And was secretly happy when she died.
Look at the picture I sent you. That is the latest picture of her. And you tell me she looks 37.
I have not received it yet.
Well, I sent it. Let me see where the hell it is.
Oh, no, I got it now.
Okay. And I'm sorry. You know, it's not a leg spreader.
But I guess what you're saying, is it because she's 37 or because she's Maggie Gyllenhaal?
I think it's because she's not the right person for what they're looking for. I think she's taken the 37-year-old thing and run with it. I think somebody presented it to her or her agent badly. Instead of saying, I'm looking for a certain type of person and you don't fit it. You know,
I've never gotten the impression, though, that people in Hollywood are worried about people's feelings when they're giving reasons.
I think they are, because they may have to cross paths and work with them again at some point. So I'm not prepared to say they're not careful how they phrase things to agents or to people or whatever else. I just think in Maggie's case, she got all bent out of shape over this without really thinking about the fact that whatever the movie is, she wasn't right in the director's mind for the part. There are people 10 years older than her that are sexier than she is. She's not that person.
I understand that.
She's not a...
Again, I don't want to rip on her looks or anything. I agree. I've actually, you know, I think she's pretty, but you're right. She's more quirky looking. But the roles for women as they get older certainly drop off.
Yeah, they do. But I don't really see a lot of older dudes getting the great parts anymore either.
Oh, what was the movie Entrapment, where Sean Connery was like 82 and Catherine Zeta-Jones was what? 29.
Yeah, that's an anomaly, though. Name something besides that.
Well, any movie. I mean, let's look. Bruce Willis is probably, what, closer to 60 than he is 50 at this point.
Yep.
And
hasn't been in anything in a while.
He was in The Expendables.
The Expendables is about older people. That's why they're expendable.
Okay, there's a perfect example.
That's why they're
any
expendable.
Any of the chicks, the really hot chicks in The Expendables, I guarantee you, are not over 40.
I bet they are. I bet they have older actresses in it, just like older actors. As a matter of fact, let's look at the casting. Let's go to the casting sheet.
You do it, because I have too many tabs open.
Yeah,
my
no problem.
Hamster's tired.
Expendables, IMDb, here we go. All right.
The chick that played Cordelia from Buffy was in the first one. I think maybe the second one, too.
All right, so here's all the dudes.
Charisma Carpenter.
Whoever that is.
That's Cordelia. She's fucking hot. She's beautiful. Good God. She was Jason Statham's, like, ex. Not that I've seen these movies too much.
How old is she?
I don't know. I'm gonna guess in her 30s. I don't know though. I think she was a little older than everyone else in Buffy.
Let's see. Giselle is in it. She's 40 plus. Let's see. Yeah. I mean, here's I don't know if that's a dude or a chick. Sasa Nascimento or whatever the.
No idea.
Marcio Rosario. Let's see. Oh, that's a dude. All right.
But he has beautiful tits.
Lauren Jones. Born in 82. That's how old does that make her?
30 something.
Yeah.
33. Math girl.
She was on Last Call with Carson Daly. Her career's
What
fucked
about
before it even
charisma?
gets started. Charisma? Is that her name?
Yes, Charisma Carpenter.
Let's see. Born 1970, so she's mid-40s.
Good. Good for her. She's gorgeous. But I think that's the only thing I've seen her in.
Let's see what she's been in. See full bio. Why do they always put me through this? Let's see. I don't care if she was good friends with or where she went to college. Where's her movies?
Oh, you care.
She was in Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel. That was it.
See? She's gorgeous, though.
Yeah, making 50 grand an episode. Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I miss Buffy.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, look, Stacy, I'm not the protector of what's right in Hollywood and all that, but these people or somebody's putting up a crap load of money for these things to get appeal, you know? So I don't know if they want.
So is it their responsibility? I mean, I guess the question is first of all, is there an expiration date for a woman? And if there's not, then shouldn't the idea that there's not an expiration date be more embraced? Because, if they start showing hot, more mature women, wouldn't the public's idea of hotness change? Just like now, thanks to the Kardashians, people seem to embrace a bigger ass. And, that's not always how the asses went.
My feeling is that it's not Hollywood's responsibility to make everything politically correct. It's fantasy, it's Hollywood, everything is on steroids as far as the way they make things look. And everybody who gets into the business knows the score. They do. Every woman who's in acting knows that their shelf life, even successful, starts diminishing at 45 years old or earlier.
But is it fair, I guess, that, for instance, a 50, look at George Clooney, who, yes, is still a beautiful man. Brad Pitt, thank God, is finally losing his looks because Angelina has sucked the life right out of him. But, these guys, I mean, I'm sure Sean Connery, well, I think he's old now, but
Yeah,
I
he
know
doesn't
he's
act
old,
anymore.
but he was still really Sean Connery hot up until he retired. Paul Newman. He was 80 and I still would have gone there.
Yeah. But even they were playing parts that fit their age. You know, and
But their love interests tend to be much, much, much younger. When in real life, small town America, a 60-year-old man is going to end up with a woman who's in her 60s, 50s, if he's really lucky, someone in her 40s.
Yeah.
That's how real life works, you know. Again, not Sean Connery and Catherine Zeta-Jones with however many years difference there was between the two of them.
I don't know. Who are you to define on how real life works? You know, especially...
Well, because I live real life. I see how it works, you know. There's a huge disconnect between Hollywood and just small town USA.
You take a movie like Paul Newman in The Verdict. The girl that was his love interest in that was a up-and-coming lawyer who is conniving and undermining his efforts while she was doing it for the other law firm. And she was age-appropriate for the part in the script. She had to be an ambitious, he's like, in the movie, he's like 60 and she's like 40.
Well, that's okay then. If she was 40 in the movie, that's totally fine. And honestly, though, at 40, you're not up and coming unless she went to law school.
Well, if you're in a big, big law firm and trying to get your partner break, yeah, you are. That's your zenith. That's your where shit happens for you. Other than that, you know, once you get out of school, you're usually, you know, an associate until you get your partner break. That's kind of where she was in the movie.
Right.
She was undermining his efforts, you know, as his girlfriend and helping him, but really she was sequestering information and she was, you know, ruining his case for the big law firm that James Mason ran. And, right. You know, so she was playing both sides of the fence in the movie. She was younger. I mean, that's just what the part was. If he would have had an older woman, it wouldn't have worked.
But see, again, though, and I've never seen the movie, so if she was truly 40, I don't consider that inappropriate. If he was in his 60s and she was in her 40s, she is an older woman at that point. No matter where she is in her career, she's older. It's when they show Paul Newman in his 60s doing the exact same thing with the up-and-coming lawyer who's 23.
I haven't seen much of that at all. Where it's disjointed, okay. Or I look at it and go, oh my God, really? You know, and sometimes when you do see it, you know, his friends are making fun of him or something along those lines. I just can't think of anything where I just went, okay, that's not cool.
I understand.
But if you look at that picture of Maggie, she doesn't look 37 in that picture. She looks like a mid-40s soccer mom.
No, there is a... Yeah, there's a made quality to her.
Yes, yeah.
Like versus maiden kind of thing.
And the crime there is somebody not saying that. The crime there is somebody going, that haircut's fucking you over. You're much prettier and much younger looking than that. And I need somebody here that's kind of girlish. You're not. You're womanish.
Right.
If you want me to go find a 30,
but again,
if you want me to go find a 37-year-old that's hot,
with a 55-year-old man, why are they looking for someone girlish and not someone womanish? That's the issue right there.
The issue is maybe that's what the fucking plot is. Maybe it's a guy blowing up his marriage for a girl. Maybe who the fuck knows? You know, I mean, we need more data here.
True.
But I think this all comes down to her feeling like shit about herself. That's what I think.
Well, it's good that Hollywood can help her out with that.
Yeah, well, she's helping her own self out with it. If she, you know, if somebody didn't frame it to her properly, then that sucks. But I don't see any problem, and that this is going on the premise that this is what they're looking for. I have no problem with the guy going, "You're a beautiful woman, Maggie. I'm looking for somebody a little more seductive and temptress-like. You don't fit the bill."
Right.
It's not an age thing. It's a vibe thing, and you don't fit it.
And that I agree with. And again, that I understand that. I understand the whole, if you're looking for something specific when you're casting a role, but they should tell her that instead of saying, "You're too old for the 55-year-old man we're casting."
They may not have said that. That may be her.
But that's the whole point. She said that's what she was told.
Yeah, by who? Her agent?
She was too old. I don't know.
Is there a third party disconnect in there? Did the director sit her down and go, "You're too old, babe"? Sorry.
Well, I would hope that she was savvy enough to not repeat what her agent said versus like what a casting director said. But I don't know.
I do. It just kind of stinks to me. But that's
well. Amy Schumer did a little thing called Last Fuckable Day, and it was Tina Fey. I forget who else was in there, but they all got together to celebrate Julia Louise Dreyfus's Last Fuckable Day.
Yeah,
and you know she's still fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
Somehow she's defying all laws of like aging and nature,
mm-hmm.
and she doesn't look fake and tight either. She looks natural.
Yeah, she's hot.
She is.
Who really wouldn't want to fuck yes. Elaine? Come on.
Especially, I think she's hotter now than when she was young, honestly.
Yeah, especially the Elaine dance.
The thumb thing.
Oh, God. It's so cute. I just want to hold her.
Aww.
Yeah.
See, you're just a monster, and then you say something sweet like that, and it makes me want you all over again.
Yeah, see? I mean, that's the best part about chicks anyway. You're all a bunch of dorks, really. You know, it's like, you know, I get abused by my friends because there's an age difference between Lisa and I. But, you know, I love her because she's a dork. Plain and simple. She's just an idiot. She's fun to be around. If she had 20 more years on her, I wouldn't care. Seriously. It's not like I'm a fuck machine at this age anyway. You know, I'm seriously just being honest.
See, I'm picturing, like, remember from Kill Bill, the pussy wagon?
Yeah.
I'm picturing you driving a vehicle with flames on the side, and it's, you know, fuck machine.
Yeah. Exactly.
You pull up to work.
I'm good for I'm good for at best a couple times a week, and then I'm happy. I really am.
So during your normal lovemaking, Lex, because I know you love answering personal sex questions, how many times on average do you come?
At this age, once.
Well, high five.
And at 30 years ago, once. 50 years ago, once.
But it was one.
That's all you get is once. I may get up and watch a little TV and have a sandwich, and if you want some more, I can deliver. But outside of that,
there's the recoup time.
Use me wisely. I never told people I was brilliant at sex. You know, I'm sorry.
Well, I don't think the number of times is what makes one brilliant.
Exactly. You know, my whole vibe all along, and, you know, I want to thank Vern Staley for teaching me this, is make sure she gets off before you do.
It is so sweet. You had that conversation with your father.
That was the conversation.
And he punched you in the shoulder and said, now go watch TV.
That's what's beautiful about dudes. That's the conversation. Where you're watching some show that's got a hot chicken and he looks over and he goes, by the way, make sure she comes before you do. Yo.
You go, yes, Dad. With like, your squeaky voice. Like,
no, by this time you're like 18. You're like, thanks, Dad.
My large and powerful balls. Thank you, Father.
Yeah.
Luke. Yeah. Luke.
She must come first, Luke.
Do your Mr.
Use
Zulu
the
voice.
Force and make her come first. But what if she... Silence. Do as I say. But you set the deal with her. I've altered the deal.
Oh, I love you.
Imagine having Darth Vader as a father. Spread her legs and let her have it.
Give her the big one.
Take three fingers and shove them in there. The empire will be yours.
Oh, no.
At that point, you will control the galaxy. Anyway,
yeah,
what
I've got
else?
A Louis C.K. story.
Yeah, let's,
since we're on the whole sexy thing,
let's move on to that.
This story came out. Now, we recorded a podcast. I don't even remember how many episodes ago where we were discussing the TV show Louis.
Yeah.
And by the way, I watched season 4. Was not any more impressed. I found it incredibly depressing.
You didn't
sad.
See the girlfriend episode, the Pam 1, 2, 3?
I saw all three of them.
Oh, my God.
The first one really actually bothered me. It was kind of rapey.
Oh, God. It was genius.
Now, when they finally did it, and they were like cuddling or whatever, and she's like very awkwardly petting his head.
Yeah.
That right there to me was like the most lighthearted moment in the entire season.
Yeah, she's great. She's like, can we just be friends? I mean, you know, all these feelings, and do we have to have feelings? I love her.
I think she's really cute.
Oh, God.
I loved her in Californication.
I have a total love fest for her.
Well, apparently, Louis C.K., this has not been confirmed. No one has come forward. It is a rumor, like a well-known rumor that's pretty open within the comedy people. Apparently, Louis C.K. allegedly enjoys cornering female comedians in places they can't get away, pulling his penis out and masturbating until he comes, and then he lets them leave. There's no touching or anything, but he doesn't let them leave.
I call bullshit.
This is a persistent rumor that doesn't go away.
From the one person it happened to.
No, there's been multiple female comedians.
I want names.
Nobody will come forward because he is kind of right now what Jerry Seinfeld was 20 years ago. You don't fuck with Louis C.K. because it could ruin your career.
What?
Apparently, I don't know. I'm certainly not in the comedy world, but this is what I've been reading. And I've read this rumor multiple times, many months apart. Like, it keeps popping up. And I am a firm believer when it comes to anything celebrity or Hollywood, where there is smoke, there is always fire. And I will use Brad Pitt as an example. We have never heard any rumors about Brad Pitt sucking dick or having his dick sucked by a man.
Yeah, there's a reason for that. He's married to the hottest bitch on the planet.
I know, but even before that, he never, I mean.
He was a girlfriend to the hottest bitch on the planet.
But that's what I'm saying. If he was, look at Tom Cruise, you know, John Travolta, come on. You know, these rumors persist for a reason.
Yeah, and in their case, I think that shit that's put out there, they're either protected by Scientology or that's put out there by Scientology. And if you've seen the Scientology documentary, you kind of have to throw out everything about those two and wonder, really, what the fuck is what? That may be stuff they put out there about them to control them and to keep them in the church and to keep their money. It's like, hey, you don't give us your money, you don't hang in here, we'll just tell everybody you're a dick sucker.
I know, but I guess they've been, if that's the case, they've been effective enough. I mean, I truly, and I don't care, but I truly believe both Tom Cruise and John Travolta are gay. You know, I look at them and think of them as gay men because I've heard this so much and so often. So if it was Scientology trying to control them, they did too well because, for instance, the love scene now in Top Gun between him and Kelly McGillis, she's a lesbian. It has now become the most unsexy love scene in the history of anything because you know that those two were so not into it.
See, I can't say that about him. I can't. I'm sorry. I'm not prepared to say he's gay.
I'm not saying I'm just saying I feel he is. I've heard the rumors enough that I just assume he is. And I'm sure I'm not the only person. I honestly don't know. I've never been in an instance where I saw him with a penis in his mouth.
If you need to watch the Scientology documentary on HBO called Clear. I think you'd rethink all this. I think you'd have to open up your mind to the fact that I think in Tom Cruise's case that he quite possibly may not be gay, and they're putting out there that he is just enough to where it's like, hey, we'll tell them you full on are if you don't keep your dedication to the church. In Travolta's case, I think it's the other way around. I think it's, you know, don't worry, we'll make sure nobody ever knows you're gay.
But the fact is, I think he's gay. And I'm just a person who lives in the Midwest, you know? So they weren't very effective in protecting his secret, if that's the case.
Well, I mean, those things are out there. So, you know, it may metastasize to you and you may think it's true. I personally think it may be true more in Travolta's case than Tom Cruise. You know, that's just me. But there's stuff you can't explain. Like, you know, Kelly Preston. Like, if he was truly gay, I think she would have been gone by now.
He has made a lot of money, though.
Yeah, but she could have,
and, you know,
but
if she they could have an arrangement, because I mean, they say,
but she could have half that money and leave tomorrow.
I do believe, though, that it is very possible that, you know, let's pretend he is gay and this is an arranged marriage and she's totally a beard and everything. I think it is completely and totally possible that they are the best of friends and they love each other. And maybe, you know, did actually consummate so that they could have kids versus, like, you know, the turkey baster or whatever. I think it's very possible for a gay man to have sex with a woman. But that doesn't mean that they don't have an arrangement where she's getting hers. Because, I mean, they said that the kid that died, his son, Jet, their son, his Manny, that had been Manny for many, many years, was actually John Travolta's lover. And when he was in Jacksonville, there were some masseuses that had said that he had come in and you know, to get a massage and insisted on doing it completely naked. And there was some touching and stuff going on. Nothing that made news. They didn't run to tabloids or anything, but it happens.
I don't
and again,
know.
You never hear that rumor from Brad Pitt.
Once again, Brad Pitt's not in the Scientology church, and he was two of the hottest bitches on the planet over the last 25 years.
But if he had sucked a dick, someone would have told someone. Honestly, if you were gay and Brad Pitt put his beautiful mouth upon your penis, you're telling a friend.
Yeah. Maybe.
Those secrets don't get kept.
But there's nobody keeping these secrets. There's nobody standing front and center saying these two guys are gay.
There's been so many people saying that John Travolta, what it was just within the last year or two,
John Travolta, maybe so, but Tom Cruise, nobody.
I think the fact that you doubt that he's gay actually shows how good the Scientologists are at protecting his secret.
I think they're the people that have that out there. That's their trump card to keep him in the church. I don't think he's gay. This guy goes from chick to chick to chick. You know, he wouldn't be.
They're all arranged by Scientology, just like Kelly Preston.
How do you know they're arranged? Nicole Kidman wasn't arranged. As a matter of fact,
she
hated
had to be
her.
Vetted.
And she wasn't.
And there is a reason why they got divorced. She walked away from her children. There was behind the scenes stuff going on. She walked away from her children. And while it was not legally a separation.
My point is, I don't care what happened after they met. My point is that he met her and did enough to her to make her put up with all that and to buy into it for a while before she walked away, which tells me he was fucking her and he loved her and he wanted her. He did not have to have a chick. You understand? He didn't have to.
I understand. But if there were enough gay rumors coming out, it would help him to show that he can maintain a loving and lengthy relationship with a female.
He doesn't need to
Scarlett
do that.
Scarlett Johansson. He does if people are starting to think he's gay.
If there's a gay rumor, it doesn't matter. A rumor's a rumor. This guy can do whatever the fuck he wants.
But he couldn't at one point.
All he had to do, no, he was way past up and coming when all that happened. And here's the thing, you know, all he had to do was go, yeah, I've heard that. Not true. It's hilarious.
Before he married what's-her-face, Katie Holmes, Scarlett Johansson has been quoted as saying that she was called to his house. She was completely under the impression that it was to discuss a potential upcoming movie. So, of course, she went. And through the course of the evening, she got the distinct impression that she was being interviewed to be his wife.
Interviewed by who?
I guess Tom Cruise and maybe whoever. It sounds like he's never alone, that there are Scientology people with him at all times. Other actresses have said that as well.
You need to see the documentary.
I do. I do want to see it because I am very fascinated by them. Not where I want to join, but where I want to be like you.
No, it's flat out evil. You have to see it. It will
someday
disturb you.
I promise.
Yeah. It will disturb you. I don't know if it's on HBO yet. It's on HBO. I don't know if you can find it in other ways yet, like it's on Netflix or whatever, but you definitely need to find a way to see it.
Okay.
Because it's one of the most riveting documentaries I've seen in the last 10 years. And I watch a lot of them.
I know they're fun, aren't they?
Yeah. So, anyway, good podcast, Stacy. Overage women.
Louis C.K.'s penis.
Louis C.K. being... That dude in the corner, I'm the king of comedy. Yeah. Come on.
And that makes me sad because I love his stand-up. And, I think his show is awful, but so I love his stand-up.
Yeah, this may not be true at all.
I hope it's not. I do.
I'm sorry. Especially comedians, they would so out his ass so fast. Please.
Well, interestingly enough with that, though, when the first time this rumor really kind of made it more mainstream, so people were talking about it, Doug Stanhope came out and said that the rumor was actually about him. And that's what makes this even more kind of fascinating.
That I believe.
Why would he do that?
Because he's a sick
fuck.
Unless
he was taking one for a friend.
Doug Stanhope, I truly believe, would jack off in a corner and keep a girl there and talk about it on his show the next night. He's awesome. He's one of my favorite comedians. So, who knows? Who knows? You got to think of somebody like Louis C.K. working his ass off to get where he is and having a lot to lose. I just don't see him. He's a very rational, seems like a rational person. I don't see him going, I've hit the big time. I can now jerk off in the corner in front of women now. Yeah.
It worked for Cosby for decades. I've got decades to do this.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Not buying it. Not buying it, Stace, but
well,
God, I love the content you bring to this podcast.
I will keep my eye open for that.
I love, love, love the content you bring to this podcast. You are a gem. You're like a mountain spring that just keeps fresh water coming down at all times.
Well, I'm over 40, so it's not so fresh.
Yeah, I don't even know if I want to be on this anymore with you now that you told me that.
I know. I should be at least 20 to be young enough for you, Lexi Poo.
Yeah, but then I got to do everything. You know, there's no intellect or experience. You know, I got to handle
it. But it would be okay. You would gladly do it because I'm fresh and perky.
It's my quandary between inappropriate age difference and laziness. I just, it's tough for me. So
you better appreciate me, damn it.
I do, Stella. Stacy.
Thanks, Larry.
All right, we're out of here. I want to thank Drew at DBC for all he does for LT2 and making sure all our great shows, my other show, The Legend Cast, Terry's two shows, Terry James Alive, and relatively speaking, The James Gang, D with Under the Shade Tree, The Ian Gleason Show, The Sarah B Show, and my boys Gunner and Chow with Catching a Buzz. That is your LT2 lineup. Check it out when you get a chance. As a matter of fact, just stay right here because one of those is coming your way next right here on LT2. Goodbye.
Bye.